Psalms chapter 27 this morning, if you want to be finding your place in the book of Psalms, and it will be in Psalms 27. And last Sunday, we brought a couple of messages on the idea of this one thing. Paul says, this one thing I do. And I thought that that we would continue that today. The idea last Sunday morning, Sunday night, and so we continue that this morning. And we want to look in the book of Psalms chapter 27. As we think about what was preached last week, I know you've already forgotten it, but as you pretend to remember what was preached last week, and we continue to go forth today, that idea of one thing, I want us to think of something. We make the Christian life a lot more complicated than it really is. You know, we can make it, the Christian life is not just always sunshine and roses. There's difficulties. There's trials. There's obstacles. Life gets in the way. But a lot of times we make it harder than it is. And I hope that when we think of this and we're reminded of one thing, and I'm going to give you, you know, spoiler alert, God is the one thing that we need. Too many times we think, if I could just have a list, it's a lot simpler than that. If we just pursue God and seek God, He's given us a book and He's given us a spirit to help us make all the changes in our life that we need to make. And so I want us to think of that this morning as we look in Psalms 27, which is a wonderful psalm of David. But let's look at the first few verses here. Look at verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up the flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Those are pretty powerful verses right there. Pretty bold declarations that all of us would like to have the confidence to make. Could we agree on that? Where does that come from? Does it come from the fact that he slew a lion and a bear? No, it comes from the secret of why he was able to slay a lion and a bear. Look at verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Notice what David says. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that, what is he speaking of? The one thing, will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This morning, the title of my message is this: the one thing that drives my life. The one thing that drives my life. Father, help us today as we look once again into Your Word. May we allow Your Spirit to speak to us. May we act accordingly. If there's one unsaved, may they get that settled. Whatever decision needs to be made today, I pray that God's people will make a conscious decision to take that next step of faith in their life, take that next step of growth in their life, whatever that may be. For some, it may be getting baptized today. For some, it may be uniting with the church. For some, it may be some area of surrender in their own heart. But may the Spirit of God do His work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every life is driven by something. For some, it is ambition. For others, it might be comfort. For many, it's driven by fear. For some, it's money or success. For others, it's acceptance, image, or pleasure. But David reveals the heart of a godly man when he writes, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." When you consider the life of David, it was a life filled with battles, burdens, enemies, pressures, victories, losses, responsibilities, and leadership. Sounds a lot like our life, doesn't it? David says, there's one thing that drives me, one thing that pulls me. There's one thing that shapes my mindset. It consumes me. There's one thing that David is saying that defines me. It wasn't his throne. It wasn't the fact that he was King David. It was not the palace. It was not his mighty army. That the mention of David and his army, the enemies trembled just by the mention of their name. It was not that that he conspired to have. It was not that that drove him. It was not that that got him up in the morning. It was not the kingdom. It was not the great victories that God had given him. The king, as you can imagine, was a man of wealth. It wasn't the wealth. It was God himself was the one thing that David desired. This morning we want to look at this question. What drives your life? It's not just about this morning to point out what drove David's life. It's what drives your life. Can it be said, as David said, one thing have I desired? This morning I cannot answer that question for you. But if you will be allow yourself to be honest and open to the Spirit of God, I have a feeling that He can answer that question for all of us. What drives your life? I didn't ask you this morning, what do you believe about life, or what do you believe about your doctrine? I asked, what drives you? What do you desire? Because whatever you desire is the engine that runs your life. Whatever you desire is the rudder that shapes the course that your life takes. Let me give you some thoughts this morning from our text. First of all, there's the desire of a focused heart. As we think of what is it that we desire today, there is a desire of a focused heart. This is what we see in the life of David. He is focused. He didn't say, many things I desired. He said, one thing. And can I just get ahead of myself? We want all the benefits of God, but yet we don't want to seek God as we should seek Him. He had a focused heart. One thing have I desired of the Lord. And as he mentions the house of dwelling, the house of the Lord, he wasn't saying, I just want to live in church all the time. No, the house of the Lord was in his presence. And let me remind us again that everyone desires something. It is not possible for you to desire nothing. The human heart is always reaching for something. Always has that desire. The question this morning is not, do you have a desire? The question is, what do you desire? And here's the word, most. David gave us his answer. He said, this one thing. But what you and I desire reveals our true spiritual condition. Can I just be very pointed this morning? You can fake it with your words. We know how to speak, church, don't we? We can fake it with our appearances. We know how to dress, church, don't we? We can even fake it with our church attendance. We can fake it with our religious habits. But one thing you cannot fake is the actual desire of your heart. See, you can put it on the outside, but the heart, the desire, something different, that is what we must focus on this morning. What you really are before God is not the words that you say. And let me just add, our words should honor God, and not just our appearance, and our appearance should honor God. But what truly we are before God is what desires are in our heart. Is your desire to please Him? Is your desire to know Him? What occupies your mind? What consumes your energy? What do you daydream about? If you'll permit me, I know my brain works differently than most. When I say most, I mean all. We all have our defaults. So we don't have something screaming for our attention. What does our brain default to? Where does our mind go? What is that desire? What do you plan your life around? Do you plan your life around God, or do you fit God in to what schedule you already have? See, when we are honest enough And I'm assuming we're here this morning because we want to be honest before God. If we're honest enough, that is the answer to our one thing, whether we want to admit it or not. See, most Christians, can I say, most Christians desire God among many things. David didn't say, as many Christians say today, God is one of the things I desire. David didn't say God is an important desire. David didn't say God is in my top five. He said, this is the one thing that I desire. One thing that my focus is. See, let's be honest this morning, and we all, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter what decisions we've made in our life, no matter how God has used us in the past, we as flesh and we as those that are easily enticed and drawn away, most Christians are, if we're not here, we've been here, or it's dangerous to get to this place. We want God, but we want God plus success. We want God, but God Himself is not enough, so we want God and recognition for our dedication to Him. We want God, but as long as I can have God and it is convenient for me to have Him, and I don't have to make any changes, I don't have to make any sacrifices, I want God, but I want it in a life of ease. I want God, but I want it with security. I want God, but I want it with achievement. I want God, but I want it with approval. And if God is your one thing, this world is not going to give you approval. And truth of the matter is, most Christians will not give you approval. Christ becomes one of the things instead of the one thing. This morning, ask yourself the question, is He one of the things in your life? Or is He the thing? See, before I move to the next point, let me just remind you, you will chase what you desire. If you desire success, you'll chase it. If you desire approval, you'll compromise obedience. If you desire comfort, you'll avoid sacrifice. If you desire money, you'll neglect spiritual priorities. And if you desire God, you'll reorient your entire life toward Him. There are many in the room this morning, and you haven't been saved very long, or you're growing as a Christian, and you're just starting to try and figure this Christian life out. You're coming to a crossroads where you got to decide, are you willing to turn your life upside down so that God becomes your one thing, or are you going to continue to keep Him as one of the things that you do in your life? We said, number one, we said, there is the desire of a focused heart. Now we turn to the discipline of a focused heart. This is where we lose a lot of Christians, because I would say most Christians, if not all, desire God in some capacity. But now we look at the discipline of a focused heart. Look at verse 4 again. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's where a lot of Christians live. Pastor, I want God. I wouldn't be here if I didn't want God. I wouldn't do some of the things I do if I didn't want God. Or you'll have a service where the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and you'll make a decision. You might even come to the altar and give something to the Lord and promise God something. But that's where it stays, because we don't discipline a focused heart. David did not just say, I desired of the Lord, but look what else he says, that will I seek after. I would dare say that most of you, if not all of you, agree with everything I've said, even if we're not living up to it the way we should. God is worthy for us to desire. He is worthy of us to be the one thing. He is worthy of all of our focus and all of our energy. And even if we're not living up to that, I think we could all agree with that. And we would all agree and say, yes, Jesus died for me. He paid my sin debt. He suffered my hell for me. And my faith in Him has excluded me from all of those consequences of my own sin. And I praise the Lord for Him. I want Him to be my one thing. But David said, this is what I'll seek after. What you and I have to decide, is it enough? Is He enough for us to actually seek after, to make the one thing? David didn't just say, I desire it. He said, I desire it, therefore I pursue it. Desire is not enough. Desire must move to discipline. I've been using this phraseology a lot lately, spiritual discipline. And some things, most things in the Christian life don't come natural to us. We have to spiritually discipline ourselves to think a certain way, to act a certain way. Well, I don't feel like forgiving. You have to discipline yourself that there's a command to forgive, and I've got to let the Holy Spirit of God work in my heart and life so that I can forgive. As an example, there's a discipline that comes with that desire. See, this is where a lot of Christians live, if you'll let me help you this morning. You live in spiritual frustration because you have a spiritual desire. And there's many of you, I talk with you, I discuss things with you, and you're sincere. I know you're sincere. God knows you're sincere. You have that spiritual desire, but yet you're still living in spiritual frustration. And the reason is because there's not spiritual discipline. David said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. See, desire without action is delusion. For you as a Christian, I'll just give it to you straight, to say, I desire God, but yet you're not going to put in your schedule to be back in church, and you leave here and think it's going to happen, you're delusional. Because there's 100 things that will grab our attention to get in the way of that next church service. Aren't you thankful that God makes himself accessible through his word and through his spirit? But if you do not make the time and discipline and say, I am going to do this above everything else, and you think that's just going, that desire be fulfilled is just going to happen, it's delusional. See, I believe there are millions of Christians that desire a better walk with God. I believe everybody in here wants a stronger prayer life. I believe every Christian this morning would say, I want a deeper understanding of the Bible. Wouldn't it be great if we all had a purer heart? Wouldn't it be great if we all had no matter how consistent your Christian life is, wouldn't it be great if it was stronger, if it was better? Just saying amen to that isn't going to make it happen. We have to pursue it. Pursuit must be intentional. Let me help you. You know how you get in the habit of being in church? You just decide you're going to be in church every time the church doors are open and you can possibly be there. I'm going to be there. Well, I desire God. How much? Well, I've got this schedule and this schedule and this schedule. So you just want God to be one of your things. Something's got to be first. Someone's got to be first. We would call somebody an infidel who wouldn't care for his own home. How dare they put those habits in front of their family? How dare we, benefits of the God of the heavens, put ourselves or others ahead of him? This is soul searching, preaching this morning, but we need it. It must be intentional. Let me help some of you newer Christians this morning. You're not just going to wake up one morning and say, wow, I'm spiritual. Wow, I've entered into the realm of holiness. And if you ever, if you say, oh, I'm in that realm, just let somebody cut you off in traffic and you see how fast you get out of that realm of holiness. We need to start being transparent and honest with ourselves and be willing to be transparent with ourselves before God and even those we go to church with. There's no angels here this morning. There's no perfect people here this morning. And we're all in the same boat as far as if he's our one thing, we have to put some spiritual disciplines and some focus in our life, some focus so that we can seek God in a greater way. See, to seek God requires time. You must set aside time to meet with him. It's a good habit to be a productive individual anyway, to have a schedule. But you know whose day the Lord's day is? All of them. All of them. So, oh, Pastor, I would argue with that. You keeping your heart beating today? Is it your air you're breathing this morning? It all belongs to Him. So say, this is when the church is assembling. This is when I'm going to be there. It takes structure. You need to, well, Pastor, I can study on my own. Why do I need one of the Sunday morning Bible study classes? Because something tells me structure does us all good. If it starts at a certain time, something tells me you're not going to hit that snooze button as many times because you're going to have 12 people asking you, where were you this morning? Missed you this morning. It was your week to bring breakfast. That's the only reason they care. It is your week to bring breakfast. It's the structure. See, I want to read my Bible more. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Some of you have probably been attending this church for years, get a bulletin every Sunday, and you never noticed that there's a Bible reading schedule on the back of that bulletin. And if you would just get that and every day read what is in there, you'll read the Bible through in a year. But if you want to go a little deeper, you got to get one of those journals back there and go through. Well, say, well, I feel like a child doing that. No, how about some structure? I'm not always in charge of how I feel. I'm not always in charge of my mood for the day. But if I have a structure, then I am going to pursue Him based on my structure. If you really want that discipline, it's a priority. Say, well, how high of... Let me just help you in general with the priority thing. You got to put Him before lesser things. Let me help you. It's all lesser when it comes to Him. It's all below Him. Discipline requires some consistency. Sacrifice. You know, Jesus, we celebrate it more this time of year. We want to celebrate it all times of year. We celebrate it more this time of year around Christmas. The fact that God left heaven, put on flesh, was blasphemed, rejected, went through great physical torment to be nailed to that cross to pay for our sin debt. He sacrificed Himself for us. When you put that which you're unwilling to sacrifice in comparison to that, makes us not just seem silly, but ungrateful. This morning, I hope you understand the heart by which I'm preaching this. I'm not questioning your desire for God. You wouldn't be here if there wasn't a desire for God. You wouldn't be watching my live stream if there wasn't a desire for God. But David went from a desire to a discipline and said, that will I seek after. There's many of us, you've been a success and you founded a business or you achieved a degree or some other thing in life. It's because you had a desire and you went after it. The same is true with God. If you truly desire Him, you're going to discipline to go after it. Then we move to number three. We see the dwelling of a focused heart. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. See, David is not merely talking about attending the tabernacle. He's talking about abiding in God's presence. Let me help us this morning. Is Sunday the only day you talk to God, you think about God? You spend time in His presence? We say, and I believe this, and the Bible teaches it, and I believe it to be true, you don't have to go through a man to get to God. You don't have to go through the priest. You don't have to go through the Pope. You ain't got to go through the Baptist preacher to get to God. Because if the Spirit of God dwells within you, and if you're saved, He does, you can abide in His presence. It was the dwelling. It's where He wanted to be. See, if I can say it like this, David wanted more than a visit with God. He wanted a home with Him. As I've already mentioned, sadly, many Christians visit God on Sundays, and I'm glad that we visit God on Sundays, but David wanted to dwell with God every day. And I'm thankful that God provides us a church, and you come and you get that charge from the Word of God. You get that encouragement by being around God's people. You get the challenge. God does a work when His people get together. You think about it. If you're saved this morning, the Spirit of God dwells within you, and all of that is here today, and God can really do a work. But God can still meet with you tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. You have to have a desire to dwell with Him. Before I move to number four, let me make this point. Dwelling with God. I was thinking about the right word, but I think I came up with it. Requires removing rivals. Do you know every home has a limited amount of space? Something must be removed for something else to be placed. Ladies, remember that with your Amazon orders. We ain't got room for that. The same is true of your heart. Your heart has limited space. And if you're filling it all the time with your desires and the desires of the world, it's rivaling spending time in the presence, dwelling with God. See, if you are going to dwell with God as David is speaking of in that one thing, I'm not talking about shallow Christianity. I'm not talking about convenient Christianity. I'm not talking about meeting the approval of the religious world and checking a bunch of religious boxes. I'm just, if we could echo the heart of David and say, my desire is to just be in His presence. My desire, this is the one thing. If I have this in life, I don't need a throne. I don't need a crown. I don't need a palace. I don't need an army because I have God. And because that's what I want, I'm going to pursue so that I can live in that presence. See, if you're going to dwell with Him, you've got to remove some sinful habits. You've got to clear your mind of some things. And let me help you. If some of you, it would do you well if you closed the phone. And you shut down the social media app so that you could dwell on Him and meditate on Him and think of Him. Sometimes we don't. It's not because we plan, I'm not going to think about God. I'm not going to think about His goodness. Because when we're reminded of it, we do think of His goodness. We do think about Him. It's because our mind is cluttered with so many other things. We don't dwell with Him because of spiritual laziness, unhealthy influences. Oh, pastor's going to say something about my friends. I didn't say anything about your friends. The Holy Spirit might just have. There's unhealthy influences. Many of them are people. Many of them are political influencers. Many of them are the celebrities of this day. But whatever is unhealthy is your influence that keeps you from dwelling with God. Misplaced priorities, unnecessary distractions. See, it's awful hard for God to dwell in a crowded heart. Let's move to number four and I'll be through. But number four is, hang on. We see the progression here. It ends with the delight of a focused heart. He dwells in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of His temple. Notice that word, behold. He said, I desire you. Think of what He said in verse 1, 2, and 3. Whatever enemies, He's the light of my salvation, my enemies, my foes. If I have my one thing, I desire the Lord, I'll seek after Him. I'll be disciplined so I can dwell so that I can behold the beauty. Christian, if you would follow this pattern of David and you saw God as you truly could see Him. See, when you declutter your mind and you declutter your priorities, there's more of a focus on Him. You know, when you truly know what it is to walk with the Lord, you truly know what it is to spend time with Him, and you discipline yourself, and let's be honest, our flesh does not feel like getting up and reading the Bible every day. Well, I talked to brother so-and-so, and they said they're lying. Because our flesh is our flesh. But if you discipline yourself long enough, when your body is weary and your mind is distracted, you have seen Him. You have beheld Him. You know what that presence is like. You say, nothing's going to keep me from that because I do want to dwell there because my delight and that focused heart is to behold Him. See, worship was David's driving passion. He wanted to see God's glory. He wanted to enjoy God's presence. He wanted to adore God. There's a lot of misnomers about the word worship, but I think how it's used mostly is because we use the word worship because we want people to adore us in our worship. David wanted to adore God. This is what a focused heart looks like. Don't miss this. A heart that finds joy not in things but in God Himself. See, this is what happens many times. Like, I want God's blessings. And what a testimony we heard. I by faith put it out there and God gave it all back. I want a God that gives it all back. Why don't we just get to a place where we just want God? And know that God is a good God. And He knows our needs. And He knows what He wants to do for us. And He will give us all the benefits. But let's not fall in love with the blessings of the God, but let's be in love with the God of the blessings. The more you behold Him, the less you want everything else. When Christ becomes beautiful to you, sin becomes ugly. The world becomes cheap. Success becomes empty. Why would that businessman give all that up to serve God? Because he has seen God and he has seen success and he realizes success pales in comparison to God. Pleasures of this world become shallow. Recognition becomes meaningless. If I just had someone with so-and-so's approval, you have it today, you'll lose it tomorrow, you get it back. Don't live for man's approval. Live for His approval. When it comes to the idea of worship that David is known for, the one thing produces the overflow of worship. He said, well, I just want to go worship God. You're missing it. We got to go to the worship service and a worship team and a worship leader and a worship this. You can slap that title of worship on anything. So where are you going with this, Pastor? It's very simple. David didn't seek worship. He sought God. The question should not be when somebody's looking for a church, how's your worship team? It ought to be, is God there? Can your worship leader hit all the notes? No, is God there? Is God magnified? Is God uplifted? If He is where He's supposed to be in the hearts of every man, worship will be an overflow. Worship will be an outflow. I didn't have to come to the service this morning to worship God. I can worship God in the early morning. I can worship God when I'm on my way, driving down the road. I can worship God as an overflow. When you desire God, then there will be the worship. Likewise, you can pick up a hymn book and you can hold an instrument. Because you're not pursuing Him as the one thing, it's not really worship. You know, and half the time, that's all just to impress our fellow men, let them know that we're We love God. But please don't miss that. David didn't seek worship. He was seeking God. And out of seeking God, worship was a natural overflow. Focus on God. And nobody will have to tell you to say amen. Focus on God and nobody will have to tell you. Nobody will have to ask, why is that tear coming down out of your eye, down your cheek? When that song's being sung or that point's being made about how good God is, if you just seek Him, worship will come naturally. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to schedule it. You just have to seek Him. And can I just help us all? Anytime we seek God and God allows us to spend that time with Him, we see who God is. Worship is going to be an overflow. It can happen anytime, any moment if we're seeking Him. Almost want to say today, because of the emphasis of the modern American church, what about those that don't have all of that? Do they not get to worship? They don't have a worship center, a worship service, a worship team, a worship leader? You mean they can't worship God? We don't understand how silly we sound. You got to have this because we get our worship on. And then at the same time we say, we don't need man's structures to be able to worship God. Well, which is it? Am I the only one puzzled by that? I believe in a service, there's worship that goes up to Him. I believe when the offering plate is passed and you put something in it, that's worship. We don't like that kind of worship. I don't see anybody getting the spirit. I don't see anybody wanting to take a lap when that offering plate goes by. Because is it really about worship? Let me make some simple applications this morning and I'll be done. What is driving your life? By the way, let me say this, and you probably, if you attend all of our services here, as many of you, most of you do, you're probably getting a sense from your pastor. There's a belief that we have done a lot of the things that we have done by man's tradition. I don't say, well, Pastor, when are you going to preach on this? If we pursue God, God is big enough. I would rather, because I'm in the presence of God and I'm inadequate and I don't measure up. What do I need to change about me to make Him happy? What do I need to change about me so that I fit better in His presence? Without even knowing it, we have told people that in order to be close to God, you've got to check these spiritual boxes. And in order to even be able to worship Him, you've got to attend this certain service. No, we just have to seek God. I hope everybody's okay. By way of application, number one, your schedule reveals what drives you. If God is the one thing, time with Him is non-negotiable. Your decisions reveal what drives you. You pursue what you value. Number three, your sacrifices reveal what drives you. You sacrifice for what matters. If you don't sacrifice for Christ, can you really say He's the one thing? I'll sacrifice for my family. Nothing wrong with that. But will we sacrifice for Him? Number four, your emotions reveal what drives you. What excites you? What angers you? What motivates you? These are clues to what drives you. Your spending reveals what drives you. So, oh, Pastor's meddling now. I've been meddling this whole time. Your spending reveals what drives you. Number six, your speech reveals what drives you. So how is that? You talk about what you love. You talk about what you love. If you love to hunt, you're going to talk about hunting. If you love the fact that the Georgia Bulldogs are the SEC champions again, by way of blowout, you're going to talk about that. If you love the latest show, the latest trend, you're going to talk about that. How much are we talking about Jesus? Your goals reveal what drives you. We need a nation again of initiative, of drive. I want our young people to have some drive. Don't just have it handed to you. This is job, whatever it is, God, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And if you're a business owner, build a business. Whatever, if you build a home. We ought to have some of that initiative. But in the midst of that, where's our goals for God? I have a goal to build a Sunday school class. I have a goal that God would take somebody out of my class and call them to preach, call them to the ministry. Where are our goals for God? What is your one thing? David, who was an amazing, multi-talented man. He was a king. He was a warrior. He was even a poet. He was a leader of mighty men. What was his secret? Multitasking? Was it his organization? I'm not indicating he had none of that, but his secret was he had one thing. He had God himself. When he pursued God, God gave him the other things that he needed to do everything that God wanted him to do in his life. What about you this morning? Is God your desire? If he's not, we really need to do some soul searching this morning. Maybe it's because you're not saved. Or maybe you're saved and your heart is hardened and you've gotten away from God. We need to talk to God about that today. But if God is your desire, let me ask you, is he your pursuit? Are you pursuing him? Is he your discipline? Is God your dwelling place? I'm not minimizing this morning, and I don't think you took it that way, the importance of coming to church, the importance of participating in the services. But we ought to be able to take God home with us. Don't you agree with that? We ought to be able to take God to work with us. You need to be able to take God to your in-laws during Christmas. God ought to be able to go everywhere with us. Do you delight in God? Is he your one thing? We like to say, oh, if I just had God. But then when God puts us in a place and he trims this out and trims this out, or puts us in this place where all we can do is focus on him, do we complain about that? I cannot answer for you this morning. I can only answer for me. Is he my one thing? Is he your one thing? This morning, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing in the lives of not just our church, but of individual Christians this morning, if you'd allow the Holy Spirit to answer these questions? If you would be honest, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed. Let's just do business with God. Let's just worry about what he thinks and what he knows. I don't know your heart, but God does. What is your one thing? See, Pastor, I just can't seem to put... Okay, let me help you this morning. Very practical. What do you need to cut out so that you can put more focus on him? Let me end with a silly illustration, but I think it'll work. See those kids' games where there's a picture behind and you scratch off a piece here, a piece here, a piece here, and you try and make out what the picture underneath is. But the only way to see it is to get rid of that which is covering it. And there's Christians this morning who desire God, but He's covered up in your life because it's too cluttered. My schedule is full. It's too full then. We've got to push those things away so that we can clearly be focused on Him. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is He saying? Just seek me, and I'll give it to you. Oh, I use that so many times with young adults and young people. Quit seeking all of the things that He said He would just add to you. That's what a lot of Christians do. We seek in all the things, not bad things even. But if we sought Him, just seek me and I will add it. And I promise you, if God's adding it, it'll be the right thing at the right time. Father, may we...